I noticed all of this while my stomach was dropping. Before him, on the workbench, Holly had the black suit laid out, all disassembled and disemboweled. Interface circuit sheets and piping and micronic lacing, each carefully tagged and color-coded, seemed to have been blown, spewing from the chest cavity. It looked like a corpse. It wasn't a corpse, and I knew that it wasn't. Had known so since the first glance, however shaken I had felt, but still it looked dead. Not inanimate, not machine-like. Dead. I shuddered. Laya noticed my movement. She nodded without taking her eyes off it.
I hate that thing, she offered firmly.
I nodded. So did I. Holly, wearing a headset, had evidently not heard my approach. But when I nodded, he must have caught the motion out of the corner of his eye. He turned to me and smiled and said,
"Morning, Jack,"
in that too-loud tone one has when feeling that irrational need to speak up over the level of earphones. He waved a prodder key toward the suit.
"What do you think, huh?"
he asked cheerfully, and, of course, loudly. I smiled dumbly. Laya moved toward him with an indulgent grimace, motioning at him to remove the headset. Holly hadn't yet noticed her approach. With a smile toward me, he playfully extended the prodder key until it contacted the edge of the unfolded micronic lacing. As it touched, the right hand jerked into an armored fist. Laya gasped. We both jumped. Holly, still smiling, looked back and forth between our two pale faces a couple of times before getting the message.
"Oh, shit!"
he barked suddenly as it dawned on him. He leaned back on his stool and unkeyed the power.
"Sorry if I startled you,"
he said, slipping off the earphones and extending his palm. We shook hands. He waved at the suit.
"Damned impressive, huh?"
I nodded. "A little spooky, too." Laya rubbed her arms briskly.
"More than a little."
"So how's it going?" I asked. "Learn anything?" He looked sheepish.
"Having too much fun so far."
I laughed. "What about the recorder pod? Have you played the coil?" He shook his head.
"Something's wrong there. I'm having a lot of trouble with the display mode. I finally quit until I had a chance to fashion something with a more delicate touch than our standard gear. I'm afraid I might lose what little might be left otherwise."
"You think some of it's been lost?" He shrugged.
"It's years old, after all. Easy to lose your foundation charge in all that time. Passing through all those different fields."
I frowned. "Well, I'm sorry, Holly. I had no idea."
"Oh, no, no, no,"
he said hurriedly, appalled at the notion of my unease.
"It's wonderful, Jack, really. Even without the coil, it would be. And I'm sure I can tease out something of value. It's just a matter of tuning the output patterns."
He glanced guiltily at the cluttered workbench.
"I should have been at it hours ago, instead of playing soldier,"
offered Laya dryly, but gently. He grinned a shy grin, hid his hands in his pockets. Then, with a determined shrug, out they came once more. He faced the workbench with studied will.
"I'll get started right away, soon as I do a little rearranging."
He began to sort through the tangle.
"Holly," called Laya with quiet emphasis, "we didn't come here to make sure you were working, dear."
He missed the signal. He nodded without turning.
"Just take a second."
Laya smiled her exasperation at me rather than hide it.
"Holly,"
she tried again.
"Oh, there's no problem," he assured her in the same absent tone. "It's just a matter of constructing a baffled relay